Okay, very exciting. We're picking up with the new parak today, 11 lines from the top of Pei Dalem Aleph. We're on the ninth parak now of Maseches Yevamos. So very interesting. This Mishnah actually is going to have a lot of dinim that are repetitive in the previous parakim that we've already had. Tos already asked that question. What exactly, these are halachas that came out every single one, we've mentioned in earlier prakim. So Tosos says that sometimes that we will mention a certain concept and we'll go closer v'shone usam v'lashon katzer k'deshu mesudarim b'yadecha v'shmurim peh v'lev, that in order that, again, Rav Shai has to be memorized. So when you chazer them, you go through them again in a shorter, concise manner, you'll remember, oh, that's what we learned in the second parak, that's what we learned in the third parak, and you'll remind yourself what we learned in order to have that. And the re-give another answer that may be right. All these things are taka, not so, there are pretty pashut, there's no chidushim. However, the cases where you have, asuras lebaleim, are going to be mutter to ibum, that case has a little bit of a chidush, where the woman, we're going to see this in the Mishnah, that a woman is asur to be with her husband if they marry the Isser, and she would be mutter to be married to the yavam, the potential yavam, so the chidush over there is, with that chiddush over there, that you're still allowed to do yibum. So that could be the chiddush of the Mishnah. Agav that, we mentioned all these cases that are not. Whatever the reason, we're going to mention a lot of dinim, hopefully that we should be a little bit familiar with. So now let's start the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Yesh mutaros levaleim vasur slave man. There are some women who are going to be permitted to their husbands, but they're going to be forbidden to their yavams. In these cases, they're totally mutter heter gomer to marry to them. The Mishnah is going to give examples of this. She's fully married to the person. However, she's going to have a zika to the yavam, in which case, unless it is an iser kares, that would be shy after her. Those cases, obviously, then we say there is no even chalitza, but in the cases where there's an iser lav, then we do say the zika is there. In order to remove the zika, you have to do chalitza. You're obviously not allowed to do the yibum. That was a question that Gemara had earlier, but you're not allowed to do the yibum. You're only allowed to do the chalitza. You have certain examples, which we're going to have in the Mishnah. Mutaris levimim vasiris lebaleim. You have cases that are permitted to their yavams, but they're going to feed their usher to their husbands. So the marriage between the woman and the husband one again was iser, but then she'd be allowed to marry the husband. Again, this is a chiddush because the whole purpose of yibum is she yivna beisachiv. So here I would have thought, that's what the Richmond points out, that here I would have thought that since the whole idea is that you're being be bone beisachiv be Yisrael, so you're building the brother who never got to have any children, you're doing that for the brother, the mitzvah for the brother. So I would have thought where the brother married this lady beisir, so then it's not shaykh at all to do yibum. No, kamashman, this case we would have yibum. Mutaris la'ilav elo, then there's a classic example where it's going to be mutter for both. That's a classic example of Yibum, where she was mutter to Sarah, who's a Yisraelis, marries Reuven, who's a Yisrael, and she was totally married to marry him, and then she Reuven died on his kids, and Sarah comes to Shimon before Yibum. They could do Yibum or Chalitza, Vasuris la'ilav elo, and you have examples that you're going to have an asur to both them. So now the Mishnah lists examples in the first category. Ve'elo mutaris la'balein, Vasuris la'mam. These women are going to be permitted to their husbands, but they're going to be asur to their Yavams. Kohen hedyot shenasa es almana v'yishlo ach kohen gadol. If you have a kohen hedyot who married an almana and whose brother was a kohen gadol, so in that example, a woman who's widowed from a previous marriage and then married a kohen hedyot, that's totally mutter. He's allowed to marry an almana. However, a kohen gadol is usher to marry an almana. So therefore, here the Mishnah is telling you that that would be usher. The Gemara is going to ask, wait, say more pasha case where a kohen hedyot shenasa a basula. He marries a full fledged lady who's a basula. And then in that case, where he dies, so then it's an almana in that case also, and that's a much bigger chiddush that there also, it's usher to then do yibum with the kohen gadol. The Gemara is going to ask that. Chalal shenasek shira v'yishlo ach kasher, Yosef a chalal, who married a woman who is kasher, a woman who can be married to any Jew, including a kohen. The chalal is allowed to marry this woman. The moment that he has bia with her, he would be pasla, bia la pasla la pasla. So that would be the problem over here. So therefore, here, we're saying that the chalash nasakshir v'yishlach kasher, so then that example, he married this woman and he has a brother who is eligible, so now the kohen is totally fine. So this chalal married and died without any children, so now the widow, Yavama, comes to the brother who is a totally kasher kohen. How do you have an example of two brothers? So let's say the woman was married by Hector to this father who was a kohen, to Reuven who was a kohen, and then Reuven divorces her and they get remarried. And so then the two brothers there in that example, the second Cohen, the second son who's been born from Reuven has a child, he has Yisachar. So Yisachar is totally kosher. And then after getting divorced and remarrying, which is then to be an example of someone who's a grush and is a duration to marry, the second child, Yisachar Zvulun, will be a, in our example over here, Zvulun would be a chalal. So in that example, Zvulun dies without any children, it comes before Yisachar, so it would be usher. The moment that Zvulun had bia with this lady, that makes her a chalala, and it would make her usher to do yibum with Yisachar. So Yisrael, Shanasa, Bas Yisrael, V'yeshal Achmamzer, Yisrael who married regular Yisraelis, Bas Yisrael, and they have a brother who's a mamzer. So obviously, she's not supposed to do yibum with this mamzer. Mamzer shenasa mamzeres v'yishal af mi Yisrael. A mamzer married a mamzeres who has a brother who's Yisrael. So that they were married behater. And then the other way around here is that the Isser comes to the brother of Israel. Mutaris levalein vasrus levmem. All these examples are they're permitted to their husbands. Those hetzer gomer, but they're also to their yavams. So then we have the second category. Ve'elu mutaris levmem vasrus levalein. These women are going to be permitted to the yavams, but they're going to be usher to their husbands. Who is this? Kohen gadol shekidush salmana ve'yeshlo ach kohen gadol. A kohen gadol who only did kiddushin. That's going to be important because you can't do nisuin. If you do nisuin, a be'el apostle her as well. That would be the specifically talk about the kiddushin stage where we assume that she's presumed to not have relations with the kohen gadol. She didn't do nisuin yet, and erusin she's still cheskas basula. So he had done erusin, so he married her, and then he makes the iser. But so they were married by iser, and then he dies. So then there's a ach kohen hadyot. If there's a regular kohen as his brother, then that person would be allowed to do yibum with this lady. Kasher shenasa chalala v'yeshlo achalal, and or a kasher kohen who married a chalala. So now, if a woman who is usher specifically to Kohanim, a divorcee, has beer with a Kohen, their daughter would be a Chalala. There would be a female equivalent to a Chalala. This woman becomes a Chalala. And so Chalala is not allowed to marry a Kohen. So then if she marries a Kohen, that's a problem. So if her brother is also a Chalala, so this Chalala is allowed to marry, this Chalala is allowed to marry this, because this person is not a Kohen status, he's a non-Kohen status, she'd be allowed to marry this Chalala. So it's a Chalala married Chalala, totally fine. Yisrael shenasa mamzeres v'yishlach mamzer. Yisrael who marries a mamzeres, who has an iser deoraisa, whose brother is a mamzer, allowed to marry a mamzeres, so that would be okay. And a mamzer shenasa bas Yisrael v'yishlach Yisrael, or a mamzer married a bas Yisrael, so that was an iser marriage, and now they die. This guy, the brother, dies. The brother is Yisrael, so then the Yisrael will be marrying Yisraelis. So we find mutaris levman v'asus v'alehem. The one examples we permitted to the yavams, but forbidden to their husbands. That is the second example we had on the mission. Now we have the third example. Ve'elu asuros la'elu v'la'elu. So these are going to asur to both their husbands and their yavams. Kohen gadol shenasa salmana v'yeshlo ach kohen gadol o kohen hedyot. If you have a kohen gadol who marries a widow, who has a brother who is either kohen gadol or a kohen hedyot. Here we have the nisuin. So this makes her a halal already when he has bia with her. And therefore, even if it's a kohen hedyot, even if his brother is a kohen hedyot, it would be usher, bia the pasala would pass her for kuna, and she would be like a halala, and she'd be usher even to marry a kohen hedyot. If the surviving brother is another kohen gadol, then she would be usher to him as a kind of a halala and an almana. How do you have two kohanim gadolim? The Mishnah Megillah talks about it, that if the kohen gadol became talmi, or whatever reason became unfit, another kohen would be temporarily replacing him, and he is his status, he gets the rank of kohen gadol, never really is replaced fully from that status. He's not going to be doing the avoda as a kohen gadol, but even when the kohen gadol subsequently becomes tar, he has a certain status of kohen gadol, the chomers that we see, he's not allowed to marry manal and things like that. Kosher shenasa chalala v'yesho ach kosher. So, and you have an eligible kohen who marries a chalala, who had a brother who is also an eligible kohen. So then, in that example, if you have an eligible kohen who is marrying a chalala, who has a brother who is going to be an eligible kohen, so then, in that example, so that would be a problem to then marry the eligible kohen. Yisrael shenasha mamzeres, yeshel ach Yisrael. Yisrael marries mamzeres, so it's also for them to be married. And then the brother is Yisrael, so then he can't do yibum with her. Mamzer shenasa bas Yisrael, v'yeshel ach mamzer. If you have a mamzer who marries the daughter of Yisrael, so that's an iser. Their daughter, maybe mamzer is not married daughter of Yisrael, whose brother is also a mamzer. The bas Yisrael is not allowed to do yibum with this mamzer. Asuras leila ve'elo, they're asur to both their husbands and their yavam. In this example, all these are going to be problematic. Then we have an example of Ushar kol anashim mutaras lebalein uli v'mem, and all the other women are permitted to their husbands and to the yavams. So a woman not listening to the Mishnah seemingly would be lechora permitted. That's what we see from here. The very important rule the Rishonim point out that there are exceptions to this rule. The Gemara on Amud Beis is going to mention some of the exceptions. So we can learn from this Mishnah that even Rebbe says the Torah Rebbe Yudanasi, right, who was the one who read all the Mishnayos, even when he uses the lashon of kol and chutz as he does over here, he says Ushar kol anashim. Every other example, that's not true. We're going to have examples that are going to fall into the first three categories. So that we see, even when he says the word kol, that can still have exceptions in the Mishnah itself. That is a very important rule that Rishonim will use throughout Shas. That's important to know. This is one of the rayas for that in this Mishnah over here. So after listening to the women who are in Isra Deraisa to their husbands, to the Avams, so the Mishnah discusses women who are Asar Midir Abana. Shnios Midir Vesilva, next example is a man's grandmother. A man's not married grandmother. Only Midir Abana and Midir Reisa are totally allowed to marry them. Because we wanted to remove you from being close to the dinim deraisa, so we wanted to stop that marriage. So shnei lebal v'lo shnei leyavam. If a woman is a shniya to the erva to the husband, but not to the yavam, and Rashi gives an example of that if you have two brothers, they have the same father, they're half brothers, so they have the same father. However, they have different mothers. So one of them married his maternal grandmother, who is a secondary erva to him. That's a shniya l'arayos. If he dies any children, the widow falls before the yavam. So the other brother is completely unrelated. That's true. The Baal Matar Seven is one example when Dira Banan, she's not allowed to be with the husband, but she'd be permitted to the oven. No different than the case we have in Issa Dereisa, married to the person who was Asr to her, to him, and therefore when he dies, then there would be Yibum if the other brother was Mutter to the second example. Here also in Issa Dereisa, that would also be the case, as we point out the Miri, but that's only when it's an Issa Dereisa that's not going to be Karis. When it's an Issa Karis, that's not considered marital. Shnia li Yavin velo Shnia la Baal. If a woman is Shnias to the oven but not to the husband, she would be dinder abanim, be aser to the oven, but she would permit it to be with her husband. Shnia lazel lazer, she's shnia rael for the bodem, azrul lazel lazer, midar abanim, we would make her do chalitza, we would not allow you to do yibum. So then the Mishnah says, ein la ksuva, she doesn't receive the ksuva. Now the Mishnah says, the Agav is mentioning the din, what would happen if you violate the dinder abanim and a person marries his grandmother. So the Gemara says now that she doesn't get the ksuba. There's two main pshatim in the Rishonim over here. Rashi understands that this is talking about the concept, as we know, our nechsei tzon or barza, literally iron sheep. And then they're basically the husband's property, because what happens is that you have, there's two ways. There's nechsei tzon or barzel and nechsei malog. We've discussed it a few times already. Nechsei tzon or barzel is where you have the value of praise at the time of the marriage, and the sum is recorded, let's say, whatever it is. It's a $5,000 car that she brings into the marriage. So if the husband divorces or dies first, so then he must pay the amount of money regardless of the property's value at the time of when he dies or divorces her. That's why it's called Tzoner Barzel, because she knows she's getting that, whatever it is, the $10,000 car, she's going to be getting that $10,000 and the value, it's fixed no matter what. That was the shiloh we had about her, and if she demands, she wants it, and it goes up. That's the whole shiloh we had earlier. So the Mishnah discusses that here the Rabbanan are going to penalize the wife and say that she doesn't get the right to her Tzoner Barzel property. The Gemara is going to discuss later, not today's daf, tomorrow's daf, the Gemara is going to discuss why we're penalizing her, not the husband. So that we're going to discuss. That is Rashi's understanding. However, many of the Rishonim disagree, and they say that we're referring to the idea of the ksuba, the regular mana masayim, the 100 and 200 zuz that it must be paid, 100 zuz to an almana, 200 zuz to a besula, to a person who's a virgin at the time of her wedding. So that is going to be excluded from this din. That is the Rambam, that's the Rif. That's how they understand it. So Rashi, l'chora, would agree, it's a beferish gemara, that the woman doesn't get her ksuba either, the regular ksuba. He's just pointing out that the Mishnah, l'chora, is talking about even the tzoner barzel, the chiddush over here. I'm sure the Mishnah actually is going to work out, we're going to see, with Rashi's part a lot also. Below peros, and not get peros, so we mentioned that the peros over here is usually referred to nefse tzoner, nefse melog. Nefse melog, if a husband brings, if a woman brings into the marriage a tree or a field, so the husband's allowed to use the benefit all the while, even you can have nefse melog, the same type of thing, like a woman could bring into the marriage to the husband, she could bring in like three slaves. So you can evaluate, the slaves are worth $10,000, so no matter what happens to the slaves, he'll have to pay $10,000 into the marriage, or you could have them as nechsei malug, the woman could bring it as nechsei malug, and that's something where he'll get the benefit. He'll have to use those slaves all the while they're married, and then when they divorce or he dies, the slaves will go back to the wife. So Mishnah is telling us that here also that he does not need to pay her for any of the produce or the property he took during from her malug properties. This again is going to be l'chora part of the idea of the tnai ksuba, which says that because the whole idea of the tnai ksuba is that this was the idea of nechsei malug was keneged porkana, that the husband, in exchange for getting the nechsei malug, the Mishnah Ksubas relates that the husband would have to redeem her from captivity if she ever got captured. So the halacha is, though, that when it comes to redeeming a woman who's captured, part of the tznai ksuba is because that she's going to be back and be the husband. He's going to be married to her, to stay married to her when he redeems her. So that is not going to be the example over here, because it's also for him to remarry her, so therefore the whole tznai is gone, and therefore she doesn't get the other side of the deal, which was the nechsei malug either. Below mezonos, nor does she get mezonos. Mezonos, the husband's obligated to provide his wife. Mastama, that's an actually din d'oraisa, right? She'er aksusa ona. So that is something which, if he's absent, you're allowed to take the basin's allowed to go into his produce and into his fields and take the produce, and she's allowed to claim it. Here, the Mishnah is telling us that you do not do that, because the whole idea is to not make her divorce her and keep their marriage intact, if that's the whole idea over here. So then we don't want to keep the marriage intact. We want them to get divorced, so therefore we would say that if he traveled overseas and she borrowed money for her mezonos, normally she's allowed to get the money back. Here, the husband would not need to repay the debt. Velo belaos, not worn out garments. Are there, if she bought, worn out, according to Rashi now, she brought garments as Tzoner Barzel, and the husband used them until they were completely worn out, she's penalized not only that she doesn't get, let's say they evaluated this shirt at $200, so not only does she get the $200, but even if this shirt is worth $5 now, she's not even entitled to this claim whatsoever. She's not even entitled to the item itself, even to whatever is left over, even the $5 of the $5 shirt that's left over, even that she's not allowed to get. Vlad Kasher, but the Din Darabanan, even though it's a Din Darabanan, still the child is going to be Kasher, even on the level of Darabanan. We don't make the child be Mamzer Min Darabanan, we keep them. The Kofin also Lahotzi, however, we try to force as much as we can the husband to divorce her. Amanah LaKohen Gadol, so now, when it comes to an Amanah who's married to a Kohen Gadol, Grusha V'Chalutz HaKohen Hedyotz, that's the whole Shaila. Chalutza seems to be, that's a big Shaila. Rashi seems to indicate in different places, in Makos and other places, that Chalutza is actually a Din D'Oraisa, so many Rishonim hold like that. It seems many times the Mishnah couples them together, Grusha V'Chalutza. You can always say, like the Rishonim Tosfos always say, that's Agav, they're mentioning Chalutza, but it does sound from Mishnayos that it's a Din D'Oraisa. So the Gemara seems to say that the Farish that it's Darabanan. That's the whole Shaila. So we'll get to that, Be'ez Hashem, that Chalutza, divorce your Chalutza, married to a regular Kohen Gadol Pashas, according to Rashi and other places, Daraisa. Many other Rishonim seem to, many Rishonim, I think the majority of Rishonim actually hold it's Darabanan, Chalutza, but everyone, definitely a divorcee is a Din D'Oraisa, that's Beferish, Pesukim. Mamzeres and Nesina Yisrael, if a Mamzeres and Nesina married to Yisrael, Nesina we've discussed many times already, because they've come up a lot of times, they were descendants of the Givonim, and they came in time to Yeshua, and they tricked the Yisraelim into thinking that they were from faraway lands, that they weren't the Shiva Samim, and they converted. So after subsequently converted, so then Yeshua made a Gzira, that's all Shela. The Gemara says Moshe was goes around them, Yeshua was goes around them, David was goes around them, how do you have three different people goes around them? So that's a big Shela in the Rishonim. So many understand that once the Shiva Samim convert, so Shela had which Gemara we pass like. We saw this about Rava, Begirusan, when they convert, are they still considered Lo Sechaya Kol Neshama on the level of Daraisa? Is that all in Darabanan that we're not supposed to be keeping them in, but we don't have to kill them at that point? Or no, even when they convert, they're not allowed to convert, and even if they converted, you'd have to kill them. It's not valid. So that's the Shiloh over here. That becomes very crucial to understanding what the Kana was. Some say that Rabbeinu Tam Shita was that no, that he holds that Dindaraisa against intermarrying with them is even after they convert. That's Rabbeinu Tam Shita. So he says in the Sinim that since there is a Daraisa, what was the Yeshua and David? That they only say he made them slaves. That's what he did. But the fact that they're not allowed to be married, that's a Din Daraisa. Okay, anyway, there are many times grouped together with Mamzeris. It seems to be a riot. That's actually Daraisa. Or we can just love Dafka. So Mamzeris and Sila Yisrael, Mamzeris and Sila is married to Yisrael. Basichel and Nasan and Mamzer, in both these examples, Yesh Lem Ksuba, they would in fact have a Ksuba. Each of them receives the benefit of her Ksuba. The Gemara on tomorrow's daf is going to discuss this more further length. Okay, so the Gemara asks, "My Irdatan and Nasa, why does the Mishnah use the Lashon of married? And given examples of the women are permitted to their husbands, but forbidden to the Yavam, the Mishnah said that a Kohen Hedyot who married the Almana, who had a brother, was a Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara says, why do you have to say married that the Oren Gordon have Nisun with the widow? Lady Kiddush, even if he just married her, the moment that he marries her, and then he dies subsequently, she will now be an Almana who is usher to a Kohen Gadol. So why do you have to mention Nisun? So now the Gemara is preempting a potential answer by rejecting it. So Gemara says, V'chitim, you're going to suggest, Tava Denasa, that the reason that the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to take her in Yibum is that the ordinary Kohen married her, Davile Ase Velos Ase, in which case, she's usher to the Kohen Gadol both by the mitzvah d'Oraisa of Kim Besula Yikach Me'amav, which is a mitzvah d'Oraisa, and the Isser of Amana Lo Yikach. So there's two different ideas in the psukim. There's the essay and the losay of al kiddush. But maybe if you only are do the level of kiddushin, so therefore she's not a issue of kiim besula, right? All you have is the lav that he's not allowed to marry an amana. So then I would have thought that maybe we could say that the mitzvah deraisa of yibum would override the issur deraisa of a widow marrying a kohen gadol, and I would think that would be the example of ase doche los ase. So Gemara says v'ha'al kula pirkin, but that can't be because the entire parak over here they're going to mention our mishnayos in this parak. They're all going to say ase v'los ase. They're all examples where we have a positive mitzvah of yibum, which is conflicting with the issur deraisa of whatever potential marriage was at stake over here that they were not allowed to be married together. And all these examples we say v'los ase v'los ase v'los ase, that the mitzvah deraisa does not override the issur deraisa. So therefore, we don't say that was the whole shayla. We already discussed this at length. The Gemara and Daf Chaf learned this from the Psukim that Rashi quotes, that the words seem to indicate that the mitzvah Yivam applies only where the Yavam could theoretically take the Yavama at whenever he wants. If he's mutter to her, meaning if he's not mutter to her, then it would not be allowed. So that's what Rashi quotes. Rashi is a little problematic though, because the Gemara seems to conclude on Amad Beis, that was Amad Aleph, but the Gemara on Amad Beis seems to conclude that the mitzvah of Yuvim applies when the Yavama, in a Chaname, we could say Asedo Chalos Ase, we just say over there that Gzera Bia Shnia Atabir Rishona, that really, that only the first bia with this lady would be the mitzvah, and the subsequent act would be the iser to then. Only the first mitzvah is the mitzvah of yibum. After that, wouldn't be. So therefore, we make a gzera that atu bia shniya, but really the first one would be takamutter. So that's a big question why Rashi quotes the first part of the drasha. But either way, the Gemara definitely learned that we wouldn't necessarily say this either level darbanan, or Rashi seems to even indicate based on the earlier Gemara there about the raisa, but we don't say this. So says the Gemara. So then again, so the original question is still going to be chal. Why did the Mishnah use to say the case where he did nisuin, not the first stage of marriage of erusin? So says the Gemara, mishum to kavayi lemin eseifa, because the third part of the Mishnah. We have three parts of the Mishnah. The third part of the Mishnah wanted to mention the case of a Kohen Gadol shenasas almana, where you have the case where a Kohen Gadol marries a widow and whose brother is a Kohen Gadol or a Kohen Hedyot. In that circumstance where the woman is forbidden to both her husband and the Yavam to have Gadaf Kanasa, that's specifically where the Kohen Gadol married through Nisuin, the Shavya Chalala, because only then would he make her Chalala. But if Kiddush Ariele, the Kohen Gadol, just as Kiddushin her, everybody would agree that she's permitted to the Yavam. So therefore, we have to mention the case. Tananami Risha not Anasa. So therefore, since the third part of the Mishnah needs the Lashon of Nisuin, so stylistically, again, needs to memorize the Shnayos, so they wanted to mention as much as possible, keep the style and the words as similar as possible. So we want to mention Lashon of Nasa there, even though Agav is not really for the point of that first part of the Risha. So the Gemara says, well, the Gemara has a problem with that one also. Vazitana Mishum Seifa, but instead of saying married on account of the third part of the Mishnah, Lisne Mishum Mitziyasa, why don't you Lashon of Kiddushin based on the middle part of this? The middle section of the Mishnah said, the Lashon of a Kohen Gadol Shekiddush is someone Yeshla Ach Kohen Hedyo. So this example appears in the middle one. So the Mishnah could have used the Lashon of Kiddush for a Kohen Gadol married to that was Lashon of Suen, would be Azur the Yavam as a Chalala. So the Gemara says, Elamashim Bas Budka. Rather, because of the case that's literally next to it, the very next example of the Mishnah, the Kabbalah Mitzvah, the Mishnah states, Chalal Shnasa Kshira, a Chalal who marries a woman who is Kusher and whose brother is a Kohen. In this case, where the woman is permitted to her husband, and to Yavam, Taima, Dinasa Shave Chalala. The reason that she's Usher to the Yavam is that her husband married her and therefore made her Chalala, Avakidya Sharilei, that if he just had done the Kiddushin, she would be permitted to the Yavam. Since the Mishnah had to mention the case of Nisun in that account, Mishum Achi Katanai Nasa, therefore it also states the idea of marriage in the first case as well. So the Gemara now says, the question that we mentioned in the Mishnah we're going to mention, so now we ask it, but why does it specifically say that a Kohen who had his wife was an Almana, Lisne Besula? Why doesn't it say that he married an Almana? Why does the Kohen have to marry an Almana? Why doesn't it say the Kohen marries a Besula and he dies from the Erusin stage and still nonetheless going to be Usher for the Kohen Gadol because it's still the Isser of not marrying an Almana? So now turning on to the next topic. Now the Gemara asks, V'chi tema kasavar, hai taina nisun harishonim apilin. Maybe this Tana Taka holds of a concept that the original act of marriage is going to be how we're analyzing over here. That when the woman takes this woman, the man takes his woman as his wife, so he's kilu starting the process that will leave her subject to halacha of yibum if he dies without any children. And even though the woman doesn't actually fall for yibum at this state, since at the moment they're married, she wasn't an almana, so then I would assume that theoretically if he dies, we don't call her an almana. This is a very interesting svara, which no one in any Gemara actually listens to this. So the Gemara is just saying it maybe as a havamina that we're going to suggest it as a in order to immediately reject it over here. So as long as she's going to be shayach to the yibum when she married the brother, so when she married the brother, she remains eligible no matter what her changes in her stage after that. So therefore, when she marries the Kohen Hedyot, and the surviving brother is a Kohen Gadol, we'll be allowed to take her because she was a Basula when she married them, and that we won't give her the shame almana yet. So therefore, our Mishnah, would then be maybe saying that. So the Gemara says, no, Harei Chalal Shenasek Shira, but we have the Mishnah's next example, though, was the Chalal who marries a Kasher woman, who has a brother who is a Kasher Kohen, where the woman is Asur to the oven because of the fact that the Chalal had Bia with her and made her a Chalala. So clearly, Lo Min and the Sunar Shana Pilin. We don't say this concept that the original act of marriage, that they were, that since when she first married, she was Kasher, so we keep that status quo the whole time, and even if she has Bia with this Chalal, it won't make her problematic, and we'll keep her in her status, and she'll be allowed to marry the other brother. Nope, we don't say that halacha. So therefore, the Gemara answers the question of why the Mishnah's first example, the Yavama, was a widow before she married. The Gemara now says a different answer. Havada Mishum Seifa. We have to mention the third part of the Mishnah because Mishum Tekabai Lemisne Seifa, because of the next part of the Mishnah, the last part of the Mishnah, which says a Kohen Gadol Shnasa Salmana Veishlo Ach Kohen Gadol O Kohen Hedyot. If you have a Kohen Gadol who marries a widow who has a brother who is a Kohen Gadol or a Kohen Hedyot, so in this example, this including the situation where the woman is usher to both the husband and to the Yavam, to Davka Almana, in that case, specifically, she's forbidden to the Yavam if the Kohen Hedyo is specifically because she was a widow when she married the Kohen Gadol, and that would make her a Chalala. If she wasn't a widow yet, if she was a Basula in that example, we wanted to keep that case stylistically the same as the previous case, a Basula Chadile, if there had been that she was a Basula and not previously married, she never had relations before, she was still a virgin, so then the Lacha would be that she would be forbidden to the Yavam and it was a Kohen Hedyo in that example. She didn't do anything wrong, that would be totally fine. So then, that would not be in that example, since that part of the Mishnah had to state the Lashon of an Almana, Mishumachi Tani Almana. So that is why the first part of the Mishnah also says Almana. Okay, so now the Gemara goes on to Gemara, the way Maskev Lara Papa. Papa has a question now. Im Isa Laha, the Chiasar of Dimi Amar Biyochanan, that in Mitzvah Sheni Shanasar Mitzvah Shishona, we had the Sugyas before, that when we had these Sugyas before on, well, it was an iron somewhere. We had them in the latest iron. So we had over there that Rabbi Yochanan held in the name of, that Rabbi Dimi brought in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that when it comes to a mitzri, we go after the mother. So therefore, it's all kol kulo after the mother. He understands that if you have an example where the mother is the first generation, she herself converted, and her father was the second generation, so we say that we go after if the child, whether regardless of the sex of the baby, whether it's a male or female, we would say that that child would be like her mother's child, and therefore we view it as the second generation. We also lakula though, that in the reverse case, if you have where the father is a first generation mitzri ger, and the mother was a second generation, in that case the child would follow the mother and be a third generation, and that would be third generation mitzri, is taka allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. So there, so he says, so an example, mitzvah sheni shenasa, mitzvah rishona b'na sheni hava. Her son would be a second generation Egyptian convert who's usher to marry because he kind of goes after the mother. Listenami, so then our mission should have also taught the examples that are mentioned in the following scenario. That if you have mitzvah sheni shenasa shnei shtei mitzrios, achas rishona v'achas shnia. If you have an example where a second generation male ger of who's Egyptian married two female Egyptians, one who's a first and one who's a second generation convert, and he had children from both the first and second generation, from the first and second generation. So then again, they're half brothers, but really one of them is going to be considered totally mutter lavabukal, and the other ones are going to be second generations, are going to be problematic. So based on this situation, the Mishnah could have said another example. If the two sons married totally beheter, meaning the son who was a second generation married another giores of a mitzri shinia, and while the one who was the third generation married a regular bas Yisrael, so men muteres labale and vaseres lemen. In that example, we can find an example where you had the two wives were permitted to their husbands, again because they followed the halacha. However, they would be usher to their yavams, and the Mishnah leaves this case out. Why does it leave it out? And if they married the opposite, the other way, the Isra way, the son who was the second generation mitzri married a regular Yisraelis, which is Asher, well, the son who was belonging to the third generation, he married a second door of the mitzris. In both those examples, they were married by Isra, Muteris Levin, Vasavin. We found another example in the Mishnah, which states that you would have a case where they're permitted to their Yavams, but they'd be Asher to their husbands. So then, that should mutaris la'ilu li'ilu gioris, and the Mishnah also could have mentioned, again, basically we were saying all three examples, taka have cases where they actually have more cases which should fit into the category, which the Mishnah seemingly doesn't mention. So now, and then also mutaris la'ilu could also be the case of a gioris, a regular female convert who marries either one of these brothers, that's mutter for them, because for this purpose, and they're allowed to marry the examples of a mitzris and a domis, all those things are they're allowed to marry. So then, in that example, if the halacha follows Rav Dimi, why does the Mishnah leave out all of these examples that should be mentioned? So the Gemara says, Tanav Asher, our Mishnah is not exact, and it left out some cases, so Rav Dimi is not going to have a problem with this Mishnah. So the Gemara says, my shir. So whenever the Gemara says, my shir, die shir. It's an example of these examples that we just mentioned. All these examples that we just mentioned. He's leaving out this one. And shir to adaka. He leaves out the case of someone who has a crushed or male body part. In this example, that's somebody who we say is lo yavav psu adaka krus shofcha v'kal Hashem. Which is the psukim. So that is, those people are not allowed to come into Klal Yisrael. So that would be something is going to be, you can mention them in all four categories, that if a woman marries a regular kosher yid, whose brother is a p'tuah daka, she'd be permitted to her husband, but also to the yavam. If she marries a p'tuah daka, whose brother is fine, so then she'd be permitted to the yavam, but also to the husband. And if her brother is a p'tuah daka, she'd be also to both of them. And if each brother is a p'tuah daka, but the woman is a giores, she'd be permitted to both of them. So we can leave out, so that's the exact same example that we would be able to have with the case of mitzris, and it left all of these examples out. So since we say that they left it out, we left out a lot of examples, says the Gemara. So says the Gemara, so no, that's not a good answer. Why? Because imichum tzvadaka lav shiura. Because it had been the case of that, someone has a crush to a male organ, so then we could respond that that's not considered leaving it out, because da tana le chayav elavin. The Tana mentions people who are regular iser deraisa of a chayav elav, meaning the Kohen who marries an amana, which is an iser deraisa, and then we're saying that that's enough to leave out all the cases of an iser lav, as opposed to the mitzvah, which is only a chayav asay. We saw that as an iser asay, there was only implication dor shlishi of a lehem, that implies either first and second generation, so a lav about mechal asay, the lacha is an asay, so it's not a lav. So therefore, that case is fundamentally different, so it shouldn't have left it out. So Gemara says, "Atu chayav lav and miktani v'adar tani." But does the Tana teach one example, and therefore that's enough? Hat katani. But the Mishnah says, "Kohen hedyo shenas almana v'chalal shenas akshira." A kohen hedyo who marries a widow who has another brother who is a kohen gadol v'chalal shenas akshira, or a chalal who marries an eligible woman who has a brother who is a regular kohen. So if the Mishnah's case refers to the case of an almana to a kohen gadol would include all the other isuri lavin, it wouldn't have needed to mention the case of a chalal. So the Gemara says no, because there's another reason that I would have needed these cases. That this would be needed to teach us what Rav Yehuda Marav told us. What did he tell us? Lo huzeru kshiras linase lepsulin. The women who are the daughters of Kohanim are not going to be usher by the din d'oraisa to be married to men who are disqualified, meaning as halalim. According to him, that the Torah tells us that a Kohen is usher to marry a halala or a giyores, as well as many other women. So you would have thought a Kohenis, the daughter of a Kohen, is also usher to marry the Achalal. So this, Rav teaches us that the Kohen may not marry Achalala. So Rav tells us that, even though a Kohen is allowed to marry, is not allowed to marry Achalala, a Kohenis is allowed to marry Achalala, is allowed to marry Achalala. So Rava learns this from the fact that we don't mention anywhere in the Torah that this should be usher. So that's what the Gemara says, that we need to learn, like Rav Marav, that Rav Marav, lo ezeru kshiras l'nasal psulin. So that's what this Mishnah is mentioned, teaching us. The Mishnah is telling us, the case of a chalal who's married to a woman who is kosher, we see that that's mutter. So the Gemara says that this isn't necessarily a raya. The Gemara says, v'aktani chalal shenasa kshira. The Mishnah doesn't, it says a case of a chalal who marries a woman who's kshira. So this is ready, again, this is included in the examples we brought before. Or Yisrael who married Yisrael has a brother who's a mamzer. This is an Isser deraisa. Why are you mentioning this case? If we already discussed in the mitzvahs an Isserim deraisa. So the Gemara says, Hanami lo mehader misnahi. So this also is not a Mishnah repeating itself, because there is a chiddush here. What's a chiddush? That dashminan lav she'eino shava bakol. That the Mishnah is teaching us that it's a commandment that doesn't apply to everyone, but kamashlan, that it's lav, ashave bakol, that some mitzvahs, that the case we're mentioning when we have an almana la kohen gadol and a chalala to kohanim, that's only for them too. But it's not for all gantz chal Yisrael. As opposed to a mamzer, which is going to be usher for everybody. It's usher for Yisraelim, it's for usher levim, it's usher for kohanim, it's usher for everybody. And that's considered more of an expansive lav, and that's why we mention both. So therefore, we said, ashmin lav bakol, vekashulan, lav ashave bakol. So the Gemara says, haktani, but the Mishnah says, in Yisrael, shenasa mamzeres v'yishlo ach Yisrael. A Yisrael who marries a mamzeres, and he has a brother who is Yisrael. U'mamzer shenasa mamzeres v'yishlo ach Yisrael. So if the Mishnah mentioned the Yisrael mamzer only teaches that Yibam apply, so even where it applies even where the first marriage was a din, which was a shavah b'kol, so why was it necessary to bring another example of the case of mamzer? We can learn from here that the Mishnah is including examples that are not just one lav, but rather we're teaching multiple examples to seemingly give a list that is including of everything. So the Gemara Taka ends up bringing a raya that this is actually valid. The Gemara is concluding from here that the Mishnah is Taka saying the case of a widow to a Kohen Gadol is not include other Isurei Lavim. So therefore, the Mishnah should mention other Isurei Lavim if not. So we see, Elash Mamina, the Tana Vashir, Shmamina, this is actually a good raya, then the Mishnah actually is bringing the case of the Mitzri, according to Rav Dimi, is not a problem because it's on the Tana Vashir. It's leaving out this example. So now the Gemara goes back, Kufa. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, lo ezeru kshiras linase lepsulin, that the daughters of Kohanim are not usher by Dinim Deraisa to be married to men who are apostle, meaning a halalim. So the Gemara says, Levim Masei, Elachor, our Mishnah is a good port for him, because Chalal Shnas Akshira. Our Mishnah discusses the case of a Chalal who's married to a Kasher woman. Lachor, it was much of them. My love, Kohenes. Lachor, it's a Kohenes. And a Kohenes is married to this Chalal. So the Gemara says, Umay Akshira. And Lachor, what does it mean by the Mishnah says, Lashon Akshira? Akshira Lakuna. Means that the Mishnah is speaking of a case of a Chalal who marries a Kohenes, and it describes her as being permitted. So the Gemara says, Lo, Yisraelis. No, it's not talking about a Bas Kohen. Rather, it's talking about Yisraelis, the daughter of Israel, as opposed to a Bas Kohen. Umay Akshira, what does it mean by Kasher? Is Akshira Lakal means that she's not a mamzer, or an Asin, or something like that. So Gemara says, but if that's the case, Then the Mishnah says the lashon of Yeshto Ach Kosher, that he has a brother who is kosher to be married in the Gila, Nami Kosher Lakal, talking about somebody who is not a mamzer, Michal du Pasul Lakal, which implies that the brother who died was Taka, somebody who was possible to be in the Kal. However, this can't be correct because the Mishnah over here is talking about a case where she was permitted to this woman. So you have to conclude that when the woman Mishnah's lashon of Kshirim Lavo, the lashon of Kashil, is going to be somebody who is going to be eligible. El Alav Kohen Lachora is referring to a Kohen, Umidahu Kohen, and he's a Kohen who is married a Kohen, and she must be a Kohenus. So Gemara says, Midi Arya, is there any proof from this? Why do you have to assume that this is again a Kohenus? How can you say this? Maybe the lashon of the lashon again of saying that she's Kshira is and she's eligible is different, and in each context it carries a different meaning in each one, and therefore you can't bring a proof from here. So therefore, our mission doesn't necessarily bring a raya that a Kohenus is going to be mutter to marry a chal. So the Gemara says, Maisi Rav Nachman. So now the Gemara has a question in Rav that a Kohenus is allowed to marry a chal, based on the fact that he says, Lo yikhu, lo yikhu. The Pasuk, in talking about women or asher to Kohanim, the Pasuk says, Lo yikhu, lo yikhu, two times. Lachora melamet she'isha mizeres al-yidei ha'ish. Lachora, the repetition is teaching us that a woman is asher because of the man. Apparently this means that just as the Torah says it's asher for a Kohen to marry a chal, so too it forbids a Kohenus from marrying the chal. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, kol eicha du muzar hi muzaris. Wherever a man is going to be muzar, she is also going to be muzaris. V'chol eicha du lo muzar hi lo muzaris. Wherever a man is not forbidden to marry a woman, she would not be forbidden to marry him. Okay, that was Rava's answer, meaning that we see the case of a chala would not be necessarily an issue. Abed Hashem will pick up with the ha ma'achanav kavet Hashem in tomorrow's daf.